This is Y Nada Más. A Real Madrid Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid podcast. I am your host, Eric Rivera, and yep, we are back for another episode of the podcast. We're still on international break, but a lot of things have been going on, especially today. I am recording this on Monday, January 31st. It is about 8:46 local time when I'm recording, and local time being Eastern Coast, U.S. And, well, of course, today was the close of transfer market. Now, it's obviously been closed for a couple of hours now because they had closed in Europe, of course. And, you know, there was a lot of things that went on, not so much for Madrid, but I mean, it was just an interesting day to kind of review. And then also, you know, since it's been about, I think, a week since the last time, or a little bit over a week since the last time I did a podcast, just kind of review where we're at as Madridistas and see what's going on. I mean, I had a couple of different cool opportunities that I didn't talk about. I haven't talked about with you guys. Some cool stuff that I've been involved in and I want to start doing with the podcast. So just want to review a couple of those things and then just kind of go over some of the standout transfers that I think kind of caught my attention. So it's not really going to be so much of a Real Madrid podcast, but we're obviously going to focus on football, which is the sport that we all love, of course, and that we all follow. So that is the idea for this podcast. I mean, if you didn't catch today was a crazy day when it came to, honestly, I think, you know, before I get started, but honestly, I think it was probably one of the, at least in recent memory for me, one of the most active winter transfer windows I've seen in quite a while. Like one of the most active in terms of, you know, some pretty big names, I think, me being moved around. Not huge names, some yes, some no, some former huge names, I guess, being moved around. And then, of course, there are the Mbappe rumors, of course, that always are going to, you know, arise. But it's really interesting. I thought it was cool, you know, and seeing it how it all worked. I was at work, but I was just kind of had my headphones in listening to Fabrizio Romano and his, you know, his podcast. Well, not his podcast, but, you know, his live stream that he was doing. And then, of course, listening to El Chiringuito, which I have to say was kind of annoying because they really make, you know, it's all entertainment and I understand that. But they really make a big deal out of like really small moves. So like sometimes it was like not even, you know, somebody looked a certain direction and they're like, ah, you know, that's big news. And they had like some weird foghorn, you know. No, it was not even a foghorn, like, you know, the old school World War II you know, like air, the raids that they used to use. I mean, sorry, the horns that they used to use when there was going to be a bombing. And it was the most annoying thing to have in my headphones while I was trying to work. So I switched over from Fabrizio Romano, and obviously, you know, they're talking about things going on everywhere in all the leagues, which was cool, you know, which was interesting. I mean, obviously, there was things that I'm not so much interested in and wouldn't be as much interest to some people because, you know, some people obviously want to know more about what's going on with their club rather than, you know, some club that they probably don't follow, you know. So that was kind of my day, you know, kind of going in and out and listening to things and seeing what's going on in the footballing world. It's real interesting to, you know, to have that. All right, well, I had to make a quick cut there. Sorry. Had to make a quick cut there because my son jumped in. My son came into the room and was asking me about my cell phone. Wanted to play Minecraft. I mean, that's kind of what it is. So anyway, so that is, you know, what happened today, obviously, during the transfer window. People more focused, of course, on listening. They want to listen more to, I would say, what's going on with the club that they're more interested in. So, you know, listen, guys, you know, I just wanted to say once again, shout out to thank you for you guys that are listening to the podcast. I always get pretty good feedback. I know I haven't been on top of things as much as of late. It kind of goes into where every single week, you know, I want to keep it up to date every single week, but I am doing this podcast today because, of course, I think it was important to kind of touch base and see what happened during the transfer windows and everything like that, because I think that's, you know, something that everyone's listening to. But anyway, I just wanted to thank you guys for listening to the podcast. And also remember that you can listen to this podcast. I'm right now doing the video version, so you can check it out on YouTube. The YouTube version of the podcast is on YouTube.com, of course. And then you have to look up Y Nada Más Podcast and you will find us there. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast already, please do so, because once we get to 100 subscribers, obviously that helps us rise up the ranks in YouTube, and then also helps me get that URL so it's not just some random string of numbers and I can actually have like the vanity URL which says, you know, Y Nada Más Podcast. So shout out to all of you guys that have subscribed and are helping me get to that number. And, you know, shout out to the guys from the Let's Be Real podcast. They've been talking to me via email and whatnot. I'm sorry, via DMs. They are a podcast from the Madridista or Real Madrid Reddit. So they're doing some pretty interesting things as well. And then in addition to that, the Madridista Roundabout podcast is also awesome. And of course, the big ones like Managing Madrid and the Real Madrid pod, or the Real pod, of course, is another good one as well. So shout out to all those guys, you know, all the Madridistas doing their podcasts and kind of giving us all great information. So with that said, of course, you know, you can find us on Spotify. You can find us on, obviously, Spotify is a big no-no these days, huh? The fact that they are possibly going to be sponsoring, or I think at this point they're going to sponsor Barcelona or whatnot. People are talking about, you know, dropping their Spotify subscriptions. I don't know. If you don't want to listen to me on Spotify, you can also check it out on Apple Podcasts. You can check it out on Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, iHeartRadio app, and all that kind of stuff. Spotify is actually going through a bunch of crazy stuff right now in addition, because if you aren't in the United States, you know, they're going stuff with, you know, the Joe Rogan podcast. A lot of people complaining about that because of the COVID thing. And, oh, man, it's all crazy. I'm not going to even get into that. But they're taking a hit. I guess they took a hit in the stock market, and some people thought it was the Barcelona related. I think it is partly, maybe people just going like, screw this, I'm not going to support Barcelona, so I'm not going to pay for a Spotify subscription. But I think it's also this whole Joe Rogan thing with like different artists getting off the platform because they don't want to support Joe Rogan or support Spotify for supporting Joe Rogan. So crazy shit going on there. But anyway, so I had this great opportunity. Here we go into the podcast. I had this great opportunity the other day. I actually went to the Managing Madrid podcast live here in Miami, which is where I live. And really cool. Got to meet Kian Sobhany himself. Very nice guy. Very knowledgeable, of course. You know, he was cool to talk to. Got a chance to talk to him a little bit. And then also speak with he brought on as he brought on as a special guest Dre Cordero, who you guys might know from CBS Sports. He also used to be on BN Sports, you know, well-known commentator in English, very knowledgeable about the sport, of course, a commentator that right now covers a lot to do with Serie A because of, you know, of course, of CBS covering Serie A. Not so much the La Liga, but he did cover La Liga for years. So we got into, you know, there was a lot of discussion about, you know, Serie A. There was a lot of discussion about, of course, La Liga, of course, about Real Madrid. And it was just really interesting to see, you know, how, you know, doing a podcast in a live setting like that is something that I aspire to do one day. And as long as we keep it going, you know, one thing that Kian Sobhany stuck out to me was he said that a lot of Madrid podcasts, there have been a lot that started and then they kind of came and gone. And then, you know, Managing Madrid, I think one of the reasons they've done so well is that they've continued to kind of keep on trucking, as they say, and keep on doing things. And I think that's what's important. You know, you in order to grow as a business, you got to keep on doing that. Grow as a brand, you got to keep on doing that. And I really do this as a labor of love. I'm not making, you know, a lot of money at all with this thing. If anything, it's a couple of cents enough to give me a coffee or something. But I do it because, you know, besides doing this, I have a regular day job. And, And I just love Madrid, and I got into it during COVID, and now, you know, you with you guys listening, I feel like there's support, and I, you know, I also want to mutually support other Madridistas that are trying to obviously do their own podcasts, and then, you know, just talk about this club and get into this community of really loving this club and really you know, just watching the games and commenting about them. And then, of course, you know, it being the legendary club that it is. And, of course, you know, with a lot of accolades, with a lot of wins and a lot of titles over the years, it's easy to say that it is among one of the best clubs in the world, if not the best club in the world. And especially for us, the best club in the world. So it's great to be part of this community. And I've met people from all over the place. From, you know, from the Middle East to India, especially to the UK to here in the United States. So it was really cool. And then it was really cool just to see him do his thing, managing Madrid, you know, doing their thing right there at the here in Miami at the live podcast. So that was cool. So got a chance to kind of rack his brain a little bit. Although I didn't talk to him as much while he was doing the podcast. Obviously, we discussed different things, of course. About football. I think you guys can listen to that one. I think he put it out as an actual podcast. So I'm probably sure that some of you guys that are real big fans of Managing Madrid probably heard that episode that he did live in Miami. Quite a lot of people were there. It was really cool to kind of hang with other Madridistas and other football fans, because there were people that followed Madrid, but they also follow other teams as well, which I do as well. So with that said, I mean, really what was discussed there, of course, was what was discussed in that podcast had a lot to do with Mbappe, had a lot to do. Vlahovic came up, of course, and Andres Cordero was very, very adamant about him being, you know, a very, very talented player, a very, very talented striker. Of course, right now, 17 goals for Fiorentina, you know, during the Serie A. And now he's part of Juventus, you know, as of this transfer window, he is going to be a Juventus player. So very interesting there to see him go to Juventus for 75 million euros. So quite a pricey, obviously a pricey move, but one that should reap some big rewards for, according to, you know, a lot of people obviously have been looking at Vlahovic. You know, I think one of the things that stuck out to me was, you know, during the discussion about Vlahovic, and I think, you know, people have talked about, you know, possibly, you know, obviously anytime there's a player that's kind of coming up like that, people always do discuss, you know, are they going to be part of Madrid? Is Madrid interested in them? Like, it's really interesting because that kind of does come up, like, you know, anytime a player is kind of looked at as like this new stellar guy, it's always, you know, Madrid always kind of it gets tied to them somehow. But Vlahovic, you know, one of the things was, I think that was asked, which was interesting, was is he really that good, or is he another Jovic, kind of another one of these guys that, you know, also, I believe he's also Serbian. So, you know, one of these guys that, you know, is coming out and plays, you know, shines in a different league, and then he might arrive, you know, whether to La Liga or to a different club, and then really doesn't do the same, or really doesn't show up the same way he did, let's say, at a smaller club, in this case, a club like Fiorentina, which is a great club that I actually, I don't dislike them. I think they're a very good club too, have some great history as well, but not doing as well recently. But really interesting, just all around very, very cool to see. One of the things that was discussed, obviously, like I said, was, you know, is he going to be the next Jovic? And, you know, he was adamant. Dre Cordero was adamant that this guy is the real deal. So it'd be interesting. I'm going to be really interested in seeing how he does at Juve. I do not like Juve. I am a Napoli fan, as many of you know, when it comes to Serie A. And, of course, but interesting to see how he will progress there at Juve. So Juve doing some huge moves in this transfer market, I think, because obviously they were offloaded, at least with a loan. So here's some of the kind of the transfer players that have gone out to talk about what happened today. So Dejan Kulusevski, of course, the Swedish player, winger that was playing for Juve, makes a move to Tottenham, and that is a loan with the option to buy. And then Rodrigo Betancur, goes from Juventus as well to Tottenham. So they're actually both going there. However, Betancourt is going, you know, he is, you know, they did buy him. Tottenham bought him. Interesting to see how he does. I know a lot of people hate on Betancourt. I'm not really too knowledgeable about him. I've never rated him very highly, though. He's never been a guy that stood out to me. So we'll see how that works out for Tottenham. But Tottenham really, really kind of lost out on quite a few players. And then I know they were looking at other players that ended up going to other places. I know they were fighting for, you know, they were looking at Adama Traore, which is, you know, ended up, of course, going to Barcelona going from Wolves to Barcelona. And I know they were looking also, of course, you know, well, they had Brian Hill, which is a player that I actually had seen him play a couple of times. I know he was originally with Sevilla, I believe, but then I saw him. Oh, man, I can't remember. Was it at Levante that he was? Or was it Getafe? I might be confusing him with Cucurella, but I know he played, not because they look alike, but I don't remember. I think it was Brian Hill was either at Levante or he was at Eibar when I saw him a couple times, and he looked absolutely fantastic. I mean, he looked like a really young, quick player. I liked him. There was a lot of talk about him. And Tottenham didn't play him at all this season, hasn't played him at all this season. So he's going to Valencia on loan. So Tottenham losing a couple of players. And then they're also losing Giovanni Lo Celso, who is going from Tottenham to Villarreal. So they need to make up for some of those players. And also I think Tanguy Ndombele, sorry if I'm destroying his name. You know, I really apologize for that. Don't want to do that to any player, of course, but is going back to Lyon. So that is, you know, Tottenham really lost out. And I know they were interested as well in Luis Diaz, who, you know, is from Colombia. So, you know, he's a player that I am going to be following. And then I am also a Liverpool fan when it comes to the Premier League. I am very, very happy for Luis Diaz, who is going from Porto to Liverpool. I think, honestly, Luis Diaz, if any of my fellow Colombians are listening, I think like Luis Diaz is the currently probably the best Colombian player there is on the Colombian team. I mean, obviously, kind of from the newer generation of Colombian players, you know, not the, you know, he's younger, obviously, than James and then Cuadrado and these other players that were sort of kind of in that golden generation of that played in the 2014 World Cup. And then, of course, Falcao, you know, those are kind of our big names in the past, but we have not been doing as well as of late. And, well, I mean, I think that's part to do with the coaching that we have in Colombia. But Luis Diaz is an absolutely phenomenal player, and I can't wait to see how he will excel at Liverpool. Now, obviously, I think they brought him in to sort of cover for the fact that Mohamed Salah and Sadio Mane are out because of the African Cup of Nations, but we will see what happens when he comes back. Will he solidify a spot? The one thing I do like is that Klopp likes to rotate players. He does like to save his players, so I think that will give him a chance to play. So Luis Diaz, for you guys that don't know, normally plays as a left winger, so that would be Sadio Mane's normal position. So that would be interesting to see, you know, is he going to take that spot? What's going to happen? You know, they will be fighting for that spot. And I think Diogo Jota also occasionally fills in that spot as well. So a lot of competition there, but I really want to see how Luis Diaz excels at Liverpool. He's a phenomenal player. I hope, you know, he's done really well at Porto, and I really hope he can do amazing things at Liverpool. So with that said, I mean, that was, you know, those big moves there with, you know, Juventus. And then Juventus also not only brought in Dusan Vlahovic, but they also brought in Denis Zakaria, who comes from Borussia Mönchengladbach to Juventus. Borussia Mönchengladbach, of course, a strange team in many aspects, because they're a team that, you know, they haven't done well in the Champions League. The times we've seen them, they're not a team that does well. And then really it's weird because they just kind of always in the Bundesliga show up and destroy Bayern. Like, they're the only team that consistently seems to be a big pain in the ass for Bayern Munich. They've played Bayern Munich twice and beat them twice this season already. And I think one of those was a 5-0 defeat for the, you know, the team from Munich. So it's really interesting. But Denis Zakaria is a solid player, Swiss player. He is going to Juventus as well. So that was another standout one there. Another one that interested me as well, of course, was Robin Gosens from Atalanta. Solid German defender, of course. I do like him. I really like following Atalanta. I think they are an interesting team in Serie A. I like the style of football they play. And then, of course, they have two Colombian players. So that's kind of my bias. Are two players that I think do well in Italy, not so much for the national team of Colombia, but guys like Duván Zapata and Luis Muriel, very good players as well there, and then playing for Atalanta. But Robin Gosens now going to Inter on loan, but with an obligation to buy for Inter. So we'll see what happens and how that's going to, you know, what that's going to do to Atalanta. So other things there, of course, I think interesting mostly. So let's talk a little bit, let's go into the teams in La Liga that I think the ones that stood out to me the most. So for me, like I said, Brian Hill, good player, of course, going to Valencia. And I think Valencia needs all the help they can get. I don't really dislike Valencia. I know a lot of people hate on Valencia, and I think even the fans from Valencia really dislike Madrid. I've never been a Valencia hater. I used to, like I say, I've repeated many times on this podcast, when I was younger and I was watching Madrid, I always kind of liked Valencia. Was another team that I watched and I enjoyed in La Liga. Of course, at that time I was younger and I didn't know so much about the rivalries and everything like that. But of course, I know Valencia aren't really a friendly team with Real Madrid, but I still think they're an interesting thing and a team. And used to be a solid team in La Liga, and then unfortunately have fallen on hard times. But I think Brian Hill will be a great addition. And in addition to Brian Hill, In addition to Brian Hill, Ilaix Moriba, of course, from Barcelona, who left Barcelona. I think he, don't quote me on this, but essentially he wanted to get more money at Barcelona. Barcelona, of course, being in the financial state they're in, said no to him. And he was like, well, then Barcelona can take a hike, which makes me like the guy. And then Ilaix Moriba decided to go to RB Leipzig. And has not played really at all at RB Leipzig. So he is going to Valencia on loan. And that will be an interesting move for Ilaix Moriba to see how he develops. A pretty interesting player, of course, out of the academy at Barcelona, out of La Masia. So going to see how he does at Valencia would be an interesting one. Then Daniel Vaz is actually leaving Valencia, the Danish player. He's going to Atletico Madrid. He obviously plays a lot of times as that right back, in that right back position, which would probably most likely for Atletico Madrid is they're using it to replace the exit of Kieran Trippier who went to Newcastle. Other ones that didn't happen exactly today, of course, were obviously Adama Traoré going from Wolves to Barcelona on loan. I don't want to banter too much with Barcelona, but Barcelona is really playing up some of their signings. You know, Ferran Torres and Adama Traoré, regardless of the fact that Adama Traoré really just is a guy that looks like a beast and runs like a beast, but it really adds very little besides that. So they're adding speed, but they're not adding too much, I think, in firepower, unless Ferran scored a beautiful goal, of course, against Athletic Bilbao. But interesting is we'll see how that plays out for them. But it's almost like, for me at least, Barcelona, and obviously this is my bias speaking, Barcelona just kind of playing with what they can, grabbing what they can. One of the interesting things while I was listening to Fabrizio Romano speak about, the Barcelona things, they had some other somebody, it was another journalist tied with Barcelona, And they really, I mean, I wouldn't say they slammed Barcelona, but they were kind of saying, you know, that Barcelona looked, that there was no strategy. It didn't seem like they went into with any strategy into the transfer market. You know, they kind of were trying to get whatever they can get. Almost they compared it to a supermarket. When you go into a supermarket without a list and you realize that you end up buying a bunch of stuff that you don't really need. And it seems to me that that was a perfect analogy for what Barcelona is doing. Now, for me personally, I am not a Barcelona fan. And as much as they are our rivals and people could say it's beautiful to have a rivalry and that, you know, I know there are some people that say that, they, you know, Haaland should go to Barcelona and Mbappé to Real Madrid to keep that, you know, rivalry alive. It's like, no, we don't care. Let somebody else take Barcelona's place. Let it be Sevilla. Let it be Valencia. Let it be some other team. Barcelona are eternal rivals, and I hope they, you know, I hope they struggle for quite some time. So they're trying to grab pretty much anything they can at this point. And I just don't see Traoré being a, you know, a huge addition besides, like I said, being sort of a physically imposing guy. And then of course the biggest news was the move of Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang to Barcelona. Now, of course, Aubameyang, to be honest with you, was one of my favorite players, or not one of my favorite players. I'm not going to say that. You don't want to throw that term around, but he was a player that I liked. I really was interested in him because, you know, when it comes to Bundesliga, I do follow Borussia Dortmund, and I like Borussia Dortmund. So when he was obviously together with Ousmane Dembele, who we'll talk about in a second, when he was with Ousmane Dembele and you know, the likes of Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, they were lethal. They were lethal up front. But at the same time, we're talking about Aubameyang back then, and not Aubameyang then. You know, maybe at the beginning of his career with Arsenal, but as of late, Aubameyang has not been the same player. He's been very much lacking. He's had disciplinary issues at Arsenal. He's had, you know, issues with COVID. He's had issues with his health. One thing I remember listening to El Chiringuito today was talking about, I think he was discussing that after COVID, he did suffer something with his heart. Because we do know that COVID can cause myocarditis, the same thing that people talk about it being the vaccine, but the vaccine can cause it, but COVID can cause it as well. I had a friend of mine who is a world champion Muay Thai fighter, did not get vaccinated, which I'm not going to hold it against him. You're free to do whatever you want, but didn't get vaccinated because, you know, he had heard a lot of these stories about myocarditis and people getting inflammation of the heart. So he didn't get it, but then he got COVID and it happened. And he even spoke out about it and said, you know, it's kind of funny that I avoided getting the vaccine because I was worried about this, you know, all these side effects. And then COVID obviously brought its own side effects. So that's kind of what happened to Aubameyang, where I think the thing was that he got COVID when he was trying to play for Gabon in the African Cup of Nations. And ended up with, I guess, like some heart swelling or so. Who knows? I mean, I don't know what his health is like. I know he's got disciplinary issues. I know he's not the same player he was before, but he's still a lethal number nine. So part of me, as much as I dislike Barcelona, and I want to say that their whole move in the transfer market was absolute garbage, and that they shouldn't really be celebrating like, oh, you know, they won anything just yet. And Aubameyang is an interesting one because if you can recover him, then yes, you know, he will be a huge addition. And what they need is goals and what they need, you know, and right now the only two players they really have up there as real number nines, as real center or center forwards would be essentially Luke de Jong and Aubameyang now. So can he provide those goals that they need? We'll wait and see. I don't have anything against Aubameyang, so we'll see what happens. I mean, hopefully he's healthy and, you know, he does well, but I hope they just continue to struggle. Barcelona as a whole, not him as a player. So that was the big one, of course, there. And then the other one, so I really think the interesting moves out of the teams in La Liga. Now, there are a lot of smaller moves that were made in La Liga. Small moves from teams from like Cadiz, Mallorca, those kind of things. But these were the ones that I kind of listed here as my standouts. So far, Brian Hill, like I said, Brian Hill to Valencia, Giovanni Lo Celso to Villarreal, which I think is a good, is an interesting one because I actually think he's a solid player. Adama Traoré to Barcelona. He likes Moriba to Valencia. So Valencia's, you know, getting, trying to get some strength there. They lose Daniel Vaz to Atletico Madrid, though. Then Anthony Martial from Manchester United to Sevilla. Now, obviously, another one that you kind of like, you know, I remember, and this is funny because this has nothing to do with actual real-world football, but I remember playing with Anthony Martial in FIFA years ago when he was still at Monaco and he was like 19 or 18 and he was this young upcoming kid and everybody was saying like this kid was going to be the next big thing. And he really was a very, very solid player. And when he arrived at Man United, I think that was the idea behind having Anthony Martial. And I was really interested in seeing how he would do at Man United. Now, he has not panned out the way, you know, I'm sure Man United wanted and the Man United fans wanted. But he's another one of those guys like Aubameyang that I'm just interested in seeing how he evolves at Sevilla. Now, obviously, Sevilla is a team that I don't want to do well because they're very, you know, I want them to fumble because it's kind of the issue that, you know, right now they're the ones chasing us in La Liga. So, but it's going to be interesting that they're there because Sevilla with him, if he does recover some form and if he does get, but the thing is a lot of this about getting back into form, I don't know. I mean, it's not always, it doesn't always happen easily for guys to get back into form. So, you know, guys like Aubameyang, I don't know. Aubameyang's older now, you know, 32, he's going to be 33. He's no longer the same player that he was, of course, at Borussia Dortmund than he was in his early days at Arsenal. So it's going to be interesting to see how he'll play. Will he fit into the Barcelona system? Now, what Barcelona is going to have, I think, now going in at forward, of course, is that high, high intensity in the sense of speed. They're going to have quite a bit with these guys that they've brought in. If Dembele actually plays, because the one other thing that came out of this transfer market window was that Dembele is not going anywhere. He's essentially staying. And if you see the likes of the Barcelonistas, the culés, they don't want this guy. They don't like him. As they say in Spanish, no lo quieren ni en pintura. So they don't even want a painting of the guy. That's how much they dislike him because they see him as essentially a rebel who does not want to leave the club. And essentially, you know, he's more, has cost them a lot of money, but is always unfortunately injured. But the thing is, Dembele is really, if we've seen the last few games, and if you guys have been watching the last few games of Barcelona, and of course, when they played us in La Copa del Rey, was it the Copa del Rey or the Supercopa? Oh, shit, I don't even remember. I know we beat them. But anyway, when we played them, Supercopa, right? So in the Supercopa, when we beat them, really their player that seems to be the one that causes the most danger going forward has been Dembele. So it's going to be interesting, or Dembele. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Are they going to play this guy or are they not? Are you just going to have a guy that's cost you so much money sitting up in the stands, or are you actually going to put him out there? Because remember, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, or Alba for short, played really well together when they were both. I mean, putting together two guys that killed it when they were at Borussia Dortmund together. So it'll be interesting to see if Xavi and the fans of Barcelona will tolerate putting those two guys on the field. That for me would be a little bit worrisome. You know, for me, like I said, I don't want Barcelona to do well in the Champions. I mean, I don't want them to do well in the UEFA Europa League. I don't even want them to do well. I don't want them to qualify to Champions League just so we can laugh at it. But adding these guys could be their way to at least claw themselves back into those Champions League positions. And we'll see what happens with that. But I don't think it's something that they, you know, you're going to hear it in the media. You're hearing it already on Twitter and in the Blaugrana media and the Culé media. It's like they're seeing this as some huge win when I don't think it's a huge win. Essentially, you know, that the fact that Arsenal wanted to spend absolutely no money and they wanted him to leave and essentially liberated his contract, essentially released him from his contract so that he could go on a free to Barcelona, goes to show you how much they do not want this guy. That they're willing to take, they're basically paying money to get rid of him. So that's got to tell you something. That's not a good omen. I mean, that's not something you want. I don't think somebody like, and the thing that I think is really interesting here is, guys, we are that are fans, of course, of Real Madrid. Somebody like Florentino would most likely not take that deal. You know, I don't think he would take any of these deals because you're looking at these players, Traoré, Aubameyang, who else that was in Ferran Torres, that were guys that were not getting consistent minutes at any of the clubs that they were at. So Ferran was essentially a mostly unused substitute at Manchester City. Adama Traoré had actually lost his starting position to Trincao, who was a Barcelona reject. So essentially, Traoré lost his spot to Trincao, who is a Barcelona reject. And essentially, they're bringing back Traoré, who, you know, hasn't really been playing as much as possible. And really, like I said, once again, besides speed and being a physical specimen, hasn't really brought anything else to the table for Wolves. So it's going to be interesting. That's another interesting one there. And then Aubameyang, of course, you know, is a guy that wasn't getting minutes, got stripped of his captaincy, you know, it was getting ready to get thrown out of his team, essentially. The team couldn't wait, didn't even want to negotiate, was just like, take him and just take him. You know, he's your problem now, is essentially that. I don't think Florentino would have made any of these deals, you know. But the thing is, once again, I'm, you know, happy that we have the president that we have at Real Madrid, because I don't think we would ever be in this position in the first place. With Florentino, the position of that Barcelona's in financially, with this just bad management when it comes to the transfers and the money and the contracts, you know, giving these multi-million-dollar contracts to these guys that really you wonder, did they even deserve at all? So, yeah, I don't think that they should really be saying anything. So those are all the players in La Liga that I wanted to talk about. And then in addition to that, other ones that stood out to me, as I already said, Kulusevski and Betancourt going to Tottenham is interesting. You know, Donny van de Beek, oh my God, going to, God, what a fall from grace that guy had. I mean, I know he was, we were interested in him. Zidane, apparently Florentino wanted him, but Zidane did not want him. Donny van de Beek, who was stellar at Ajax during that season where they had Frankie de Jong and all these guys. I mean, what a fall from grace for him. Now he's Manchester United to Everton. Hopefully he can recover some of his luster, I think. He's still a young guy. Another feel-good story, guys, I think, is Christian Eriksen. Obviously, you know, after that scary, scary situation in the Euros, goes back to Inter, but, you know, he's a free agent now, and he's going to Brentford in the Premier League, and good to see him. Hopefully he gets to play some football and he's healthy and plays well. You know, I wish that guy nothing but the best. I actually really liked what the Danish team did in this last Euro. One of my best friends is from Denmark, so I follow them really closely. So, you know, nothing but love for Christian Eriksen. I think he was a quality player, and hopefully he can kind of recover from all that stuff and kind of play out his last few days as a professional player without any issues to his health and all that kind of stuff, and do well, you know. And then another one that I was interested in, and this will be the last one we'll talk about, was really Julian Alvarez, really talented young player from River Plate, River Plate in Argentina, going to Manchester City. So that's going to be an interesting one to watch as well. I want to see how this kid evolves. He was like banging in goals for River, so it's going to be one to watch. I mean, I think always when some of these guys come from these leagues in Argentina, especially Argentina and Brazil, they're really It's a lot rougher football in CONMEBOL, guys. It's a lot rougher move football in South America. They don't they barely call fouls, guys. You can like come in, you know, a lot of times studs up right above the knee, you know, go for it, almost decapitate them with your foot, and sometimes you'll get away with it not even getting a yellow card. It's wild sometimes. It is the Wild West. But it's a very difficult sometimes it's hard for them to sort of adjust at first. And we've seen that with the likes of guys like Vinicius and of course other players like Rodrigo coming from the Brazilian leagues, coming from South American leagues, and then coming into Europe. So that jump directly from that without making any stops in Europe. But it's going to be interesting to see because, like I said, he's a young player, really talented striker. And I want to see how he does at Manchester City, even though I don't like Manchester City. But I think all of these things are interesting because when you look at these players, all of these young guys and these guys moving around, you always kind of look and see, you know, who's going to develop into something that might be really interesting and might be something that maybe at the later on will work for Real Madrid. If that, you know, happens. Because right now, of course, all eyes... And that's the last thing I'm going to talk about. Of course, all eyes are, of course, on Mbappé. Now, there was a huge uproar this morning that Mbappé had made a deal. So I'm going to read one thing here from, now this actually comes from our good friends at Managing Madrid. This was written by Lucas Navarrete from Managing Madrid. And this was about that whole thing that happened this morning. It was published on Bild, which was, and I'm reading it here, quoting from that article, Real Madrid and French striker Kylian Mbappé have reached an agreement and the attacker will become a Madridista next summer, according to an exclusive report published today on Bild, which is, of course, the German magazine. Or newspaper. Mbappé would earn around 50 million euros a year pre-tax, which is around 30 million as his net salary per that same report. Mbappé is set to become a free agent next summer after rejecting many offers to extend his current deal with Paris Saint-Germain. Real Madrid tried to sign him last summer, but PSG decided to keep him around, hoping that he would eventually sign an extension. Jokes on them. And while some reports on the French press suggested that the attacker could be willing to accept a short deal, it seems that he will play for Real Madrid in the 2022-2023 season. Still, the contract has not been signed and things could change very quickly considering that Real Madrid and PSG will meet in the Champions League round of 16 this February. Could something happen during the course of those two games that changes Madrid, Mbappé's mind, or will he sign for Madrid no matter what? The end of this saga will soon come to an end. So, Bild says that essentially they had an agreement, they have reached an agreement, and that the attacker will become a Madridista next summer. Then, of course, I don't remember what the... there was an article out of France, essentially, saying that Mbappé, not Mbappé himself, of course, but Mbappé's entourage had said that that was not true, that no agreement had been reached, or anything of that sort. Now, who knows if there really was an agreement or not? Now, what we do know is that everything seems to be that Mbappé is getting closer and closer to Madrid. And I know a lot of people are already exhausted about hearing it, but I think always these kind of things, these kind of filtrations or these kind of news that comes out of the press. Now, some of it is outright bullshit and you can call it real quick, but this is something that's been going on for some time now already. And we all know that PSG has been trying over and over and over again to get him to sign a deal or an extension with PSG. And the man has said no multiple times, which to me is this guy is more Madridista than anybody at this point, because he's been getting pressure even from his own family, I think, wanting him to sign. And the thing is, his dream is to play for Real Madrid. And I don't blame him. I mean, I wish I could play for Real Madrid. I just don't have the technical skills to do it. I am with my son right now every single day, taking him to soccer practice and hoping that he will one day develop into somebody that Real Madrid will at least take a look at. But we'll see what happens. But everybody's dream, at least my family and many other people, of course, is to play for Real Madrid. And it seems like Kylian Mbappé is dead set on doing this move. And like I said, the joke is on PSG, who could have gotten 200 million euros or more so than that when push came to shove, more than 200 million euros or $220 million essentially could have gotten. They could have gotten that money for Kylian Mbappé, and they decided to flex their muscle and essentially flex themselves as being this, we don't care about money and we're going to keep our guy because he's going to re-sign with us and we're 100% confident. And that might come down as being the worst business move they have ever done in their entire lives, especially for guys like Al Khelaifi and Leonardo. But I have absolutely no, do not feel sorry with that for them whatsoever, have no pity for them whatsoever, because they denied us from having Mbappé this season. And now what's going to happen is he is going to leave them with nothing. They will get, obviously he's not coming for free. We will have to pay him money for his services, but we don't have to pay them a red cent. And that's what's important. And the idea of humiliating them after the way they've behaved and talking about how we're, you know, breaking the rules and all this kind of stuff when they were doing things behind our backs, discussing things with Sergio Ramos. And then, of course, with Barcelona going behind, you know, doing all these things behind the backs of Barcelona to get Messi. You know, they were playing the same game that essentially all these other teams play to get into the ears of these players and convince them. So, and I am just happy. And I think all of these things, regardless of whether or not they say that is not true, that it's not true that Bild said that there was an agreement, which I probably think there wasn't, or even if there was, it could have gotten filtered out, you know, it could have filtered out, you know, or been, you know, leaked to the press, because maybe, you never know, there was some sort of deal, but they're not going to announce it right now when he's still going to play in the Champions League against Real Madrid of all teams. And he still has until essentially, I think it's June or July that he's going to have the contract. But from what Pedrerol said today on El Chiringuito was that there was no agreement, but that Real Madrid are happy to wait and that they will most likely approach PSG in May to actually ask them for, I don't know if they have to ask them for permission, but to basically say, we want to talk to our guy now. He no longer wants to be with you. He wants to be with us. And, you know, that's the deal. And I think a huge reason for that, of course, is the likes of how we're performing right now, the likes of him maybe being able to play alongside, feeling that he's going to play alongside, of course, Benzema, who they seem to have a solid relationship. There are other players on the team, of course, that are from France, guys like Camavinga, guys like Mendy, you know, players that he can talk with. And then, of course, there are other players that he looks up to. And then, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how are they going to play Benzema, Vinicius, Mbappé all together. If we do get Haaland, which is that some other story that it will probably develop as time goes by. Are we going to end up getting both of these guys in the summer transfer window? If we do that, I don't even know what I'm going to do, man. I might shave my head. I'm not going to say that right now on the podcast. I'm not going to say that and say I am absolutely going to do it, you know, because then I'd have to, you know, I have to stay true to my word. But I don't know what I'd do if those two guys actually end up coming to our club the way they've been saying. But as far as right now, Mbappé is the one that, of course, I'm thinking at this point, with all these little tidbits of information that continue to come out, it seems like it's a done deal, only that we're waiting for the final, you know, nail in the coffin for PSG, but the final coup de grace by Mbappé himself to say, you know, announce, hey, you know, I'm leaving PSG. Thank you for everything. And I've decided to go to Real Madrid. Deuces. You know, I mean, obviously he wouldn't say deuces, but I'm just, you know, that's what I would say, you know, but yeah, so that was the biggest thing, I think, for Madridistas that came out of the transfer window was that. Obviously there were other things like Jovic isn't leaving, you know, he's not going anywhere right now. We didn't bring in any other players, which I think you guys, if you are a Real Madrid fan at this point, you can't really complain because you guys know that that's how Florentino works. But if Florentino was working that way in order to get the players that he wants, which are these guys that are coming in, these guys that have already been talked about, such as, you know, You know, I know they've obviously, I mean, we've heard about Rudiger. We've heard about, of course, Mbappe. We've heard about Haaland. We've heard about Tchouaméni. We've heard about Kessié. We've heard about, who else have we heard about? I don't know. I mean, there's so many other people that have been discussed. Will, you know, can Hakimi come back? Can we get somebody else for that right back position, please? Is there going to be another center back position? Can we go for Koundé? Can we go for Pau Torres? You know, I don't know. There's just different. A lot of people, you know, want different players. And is there going to be a big, huge? I mean, is there going to be a huge move this summer for Real Madrid? Is there going to be a huge move? Are we going to get something massive at Real Madrid? And I really think that all of this waiting that we've done for the past few years is really going to pay off in some massive signings. Obviously, one that's massive enough already is going to be Mbappé. So I would say it is not a difficult time to be a Madridista. It is not a rough time to be a Madridista. If anything, it is a perfect time to be a Madridista. This season is still looking up for us. And in addition to that, you know, I think the sky's the limit. I think we're going to get some interesting developments as we get closer and closer to the summer. And until then, of course, the team is doing what they got to do. They're doing fantastic. So not playing the best sometimes and being and making us have, you know, small heart attacks, but still very, very solid. So, and I think we can pull it out. I think we can pull it out if we just stay the course and continue the way we're doing and stay healthy. And then the first one of these is going to be the first game back is, of course, going to be against Athletic Bilbao, which it seems like, obviously, we're going to have Militao, who came back from Brazil because they're not going to use him in the game against Paraguay. Vinicius, apparently, Tite, or Chiche, as they would say, is going to use Vinicius for the game against Paraguay, which I believe is tomorrow. No, I'm sorry, it's Wednesday. And then on Wednesday, he is going to, I guess, right after the game, jump on a plane and go all the way to Bilbao to meet with the team and play the game of Copa del Rey against Athletic Bilbao. So that's going to be really interesting, but at least we'll have those two guys back. The other thing I think that's up in the air is, of course, who we're going to have as a left back, as Marcelo has been suspended. Marcelo's been suspended. And then what was it? Mendy is injured. And then I thought they said Miguel Gutierrez was injured, but now it seems like he's possibly going to be able to play. And then the other thing is, are they going to use Benzema? Are they going to push Benzema? So that's another rough one too. So it's going to be a tough game because Athletic Bilbao always come to play. They always come to play, and especially in San Mamés. In San Mamés is always a tough game. They're loud. They're tough as hell. We'll see what happens. But that's all I got for today, guys. I am going to come with a podcast hopefully right after the game on Thursday. If not, we'll do a podcast on Friday. You know, I guess we'll start here. You know, we're going to have... We have a new writer on staff. His name is Hilal Uddin. Sorry if I'm killing your name, man. But he is going to be writing for us on the... He already wrote a fantastic article the other day about the game, the 2-2 draw against Elche. Fantastic article by him. I'm glad to have him on board. I'm, of course, glad to have Trombach on board. I'm going to see if I hit up Hilal. If he's listening to us right now, Hilal, if... you know, if you're available, I'm probably going to bring you onto the podcast so we can introduce you to everybody and then, you know, bring you on as one of our contributors here and there on the podcast. And then, you know, we'll do one after the game. We'll do after the Copa del Rey game and then see what happens after that. Hopefully it's a win. It will be a win. Always got to stay positive. And then we'll go on from there. So thank you guys for listening once again. Remember, guys, if you are listening to me on Apple Podcasts, please go into the Apple Podcast app, hit the subscribe button. But also, in addition to that, rate the podcast. Give it 5 stars or 4 stars. That's fine with me. 3 stars, whatever it is. Whatever you feel like we deserve. And then, you know, write us a comment. Write us, hey, you guys are doing a good job. Or, hey, fuck you, Eric. You talk too much. Whatever you want to do, man. It's up to you. you know. Besides that, of course, Google Podcasts, we are on TuneIn, we are on Stitcher, we are on the iHeartRadio app, and then we're on Spotify, but don't tell anyone, okay? Because I don't want you guys to get mad. We're on Spotify, but don't use Spotify. Don't use it. Fuck Spotify. All right, so besides that, guys, also, yeah, for the YouTube channel, for this YouTube channel, of course, guys, you know, hit the subscribe button, hit the notification button if you want. Help us get to those 100 subscribers so that we can get that vanity URL. Let's keep growing. I appreciate all the help. I appreciate all the love. Shout out to all the guys from all the different podcasts. Like I said, the Madridista Roundabout Podcast, the Real Pod, Let's Be Real, or Let's Get Real, Let's Be Real, Let's Get Real. God, man, I always forget your names, guys. But look them up. They're a good. They're one. And of course, the guys at Managing Madrid, and of course, the hospitality of Managing Madrid when we went. Just cool to have those. Miami live show was great, and I think their next one's going to be like in Mumbai, which is crazy because I know all the Indian fans are out there and they're killing it out there, so that's going to be a wild one. Anyway, that's all I got to say, guys. I will talk to you again soon. We will talk again soon. Much love. Peace out.
This has been Y Nada Más, Al Real Madrid Podcast.